Right, hi folk. Welcome to Shift Church on Christmas Eve Eve. My name is Tim Carter and I'm here with Liz. Say hello, Liz.
Hello, Liz.
And Sarah. Say hello, Sarah.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Sarah. Hi, everyone. And everyone else.
Do say hello on the stream if you're watching live on Facebook. If you're catching up on Facebook or YouTube or the podcast, it's lovely to have you with us as well. Do drop us an email, tim@allsaints-wellington.org. Say hello or put comments on the Facebook. I'm sure people will pick them up.
Yeah.
And it
hey!
Is...
Sorry. I've just gone through.
Is very excitable. Why are you
No, this is the first time I've watched the comments, and I used to be brilliant at multitasking. Now I'm appalling. So I'm just going to look as if I know what I'm doing to start with, and then if I don't say anything else, forgive me. But Ali's here. Hi, Ali. I know there's 10 out there, so come on, let's hear who else is on there.
Very
well, good. I can still catch up.
For those of you who can see us, you will see that we have gone with the Christmas theme today. I am wearing my Santa hat. Sarah, what are you wearing?
I'm wearing my brand new, 1 week late arriving, so it's staying on now till at least Boxing Day, Nativity Christmas jumper.
Woo-hoo. Very good.
Ooh, no Santa Claus on my jumper.
Now, we'll tell you everything else that's wrong with it later.
Oh, no.
Liz, what are you, for those of you who are listening at home and I can't see, what's your Christmas themed bit?
I'm wearing some monstrosity that belonged to Tabitha about 10 years ago.
You really can't see, it's only a Christmas hat.
Can I just say that Ali loves the hats? Ali hasn't said she loves my jumper though. Come on, Ali. Because quite clearly Timmy's going to have something to say about my jumper when we go off air. So I want some support for my jumper, please.
Yeah,
there we go. I like the jumper, Sarah. I like.
Bless you. Tim's being Grinch.
Say I didn't like it. Always Grinchy. I'm wearing my Santa hat tonight. For those of you who can't see, it's very good. So yes, we are having a bit of a Christmas-themed Shift Church tonight. It is Christmas Eve, which is lovely, and we're all ready for Christmas. Obviously, no.
A little bit.
I wonder if anybody's wrapped all their presents. I haven't wrapped all my presents.
Well, just before we came, God went live, we were just saying how difficult it is wrapping with one hand. So the few presents that I've wrapped this year look appalling. But I've sort of got an excuse, haven't I? So I'm making the most of it. And thank you, Ali. She does love my jumper.
That's all right.
And those presents will be very special and very loved because you put the time in.
They will.
In one hand.
Thank you.
Liz, have you finished all your wrapping?
No. I've not finished all my wrapping. You can help me tomorrow.
You, me and a bottle of Baileys, is that about right?
Yeah, yeah.
And the wrapping gets more and more haphazard as we go. Something like that. Very good.
Hi, David. Hi, Virginia, by the way.
I was going to say, Philip's wondering where the red pear is from last week.
I haven't got that one through. Now, we're talking about Barry here, Barry the Robin. And I have got, I can actually say that I got it, I've seen it, in as much as I changed the angle on where I sat in my lounge the other night. And rather than being askew to Barry in my lounge, I was face on to Barry, who has a very highly pointed nose. And I concede that Barry does look like a pear straight on from the front.
Excellent. Very good.
See, I'm big enough to admit it wasn't a mistake, but yeah. But Barry's doing really well, thank you very much. You probably can't see. Let me bring in, though, just before we carry on, because this is Christmas Bambi. Sparkly Christmas Bambi, who can't be mistaken for anything else, obviously.
Obviously.
Just get that out there.
You look like Google.
Do you know what? The effort that goes into the backgrounds in my appearances on this performance here is going to stop drastically in the new year.
I was going to say, almost as much effort as goes into the background in my...
Right? carry on.
Right. Anyway, we're going to move on. We're going to move on. It's really good to have you with us, whether you're listening on the podcast, catching up on Boxing Day over some cheese and crackers, or later on, or whether you're back at work, out for a run, whatever you're doing, catching up with us. It's good to have you with us. We're going to have some Christmas themes this evening. I do have to give a trigger warning. There is going to be a full and frank and honest discussion later with regards to Father Christmas. So if you're the kind of person who listens with family around, this may not be family suitable. I do have to warn you. So there you go. So you've been warned now, you won't be warned again. You've been told. But we're not... We are not being grinchy tonight. We are enjoying the Christmas season. And to kind of get us in the mood, to give us just a bit of space to breathe. If we've had a coming from work, if we've had a busy day, and we just want to breathe for a minute as we start thinking on some stuff, or if you're at work and you just want to take a moment, we're going to listen to a poem, a bit of music. And if you're watching, there'll be a bit of video that goes with it. So let me do this and we can just breathe and get into the Christmas spirit. I hope. Here we go. Oh, I need to put share computer sound on. There we go.
A heart the herald in a weary cave, a midnight clear blinks through our fears. And all ye faithful come and praise, as a silent night is draped in light. A bleak midwinter awakened to spring, as shepherds hear glory from angel realms. On Christmas night, the whole world sings, O come, Emmanuel. O little town, your story resounds through first Noels and merrily bells. Through a manger away and a shining new day, we salute the morn as the anthem swells. O see amid our winter pain, amid our night where dread takes flight, what child is this who rests our shame? Joy to the world in a brand new name. A heart the herald in our weary souls, a midnight clear in our deepest fears. A little town of hallowed ground and joy in the morning when you are here.
Go. Are we all feeling Christmassy now?
Very. Very. Those were beautiful words.
Good, aren't they? Very good. Yes, so got some nice carol lyrics in there, drawing us into Christmas.
Yeah.
Our Bible reading this evening is, as you will not be surprised to hear, Christmas themed. So, Liz, are you going to read that for us?
I am, yes. I'm going to read Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. And this is from the NIV UK version. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Excellent. So we're going to come back to that a little bit later. And as a bit of a sneak preview of what we're going to be talking about, maybe just as you think on it, or if you're reading it over at home, still got the Bible open or your phone open, just think about what isn't there. What isn't there? And I will, it all become clear later, but what is,
we should have asked that question before the reading.
I know.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
I have to look over it.
That's not fair, is it?
Okay.
I do one question of sport.
What's that?
Ask, tell you what you've got to be aware of first.
You're right.
It's checking if you're really listening to the reading.
I know.
Well, if you want to look it up, it's Luke 2, verses 1 to 7. You can be looking there and thinking, what isn't there? So, while you're thinking about that, we're going to have our first carol.
Woo! Which one?
Hold on a minute. Yeah, I just need to make this work. There we go. I think it's.
By the way, send those jokes in.
It's not that one.
Oh.
Oh, is it not?
Oh, hold on a minute. No, it's not that. I've got things in the wrong order.
Well, meantime, like I said, put a plug, a request out there for any Christmas jokes. If they're church related, that would be brilliant.
David says he's not got any that are appropriate for church.
I know, I find that shocking. Tim told us one, and I forgot what it was, and I keep trying to remember it.
Oh, why couldn't Mary and Joseph get onto their work conference call?
Oh yeah.
Get onto their what?
Go on.
Work conference call.
Oh, yeah. Go on.
Because there wasn't any Zoom at the inn.
Boom, boom. That's very,
but
very
actually, awesome. And even that's actually a clue to the last question I asked.
Ooh. It's almost as if we were right.
Don't spoil it now. Just hold on to it. Just hold on to it.
Right.
Now we are going to have a carol. Are you ready? Here we go.
I'm ready.
Ready.
Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time.
A good bit of Hartley Herald.
Hartley Herald. I've got a bit of a pause on my thing, so I'm on hold as to David's punchline on a joke. Have you seen that, Liz?
Yeah, but we've got another joke before that, and we've got...
Oh, I've missed that.
What did Adam say the day before Christmas?
Oh, it's coming something Eve.
Eve, yeah. Christmas, oh, it's Eve. Christmas Eve.
Oh.
I love those ones that make you go, oh...
We've got David's answer. It's a little bit rude.
Mine hasn't come through yet. I must be in a different... Don't forget, I'm Brosley. It's different time zone here.
Oh, we'll leave that to those on the stream then, if it's...
It's not really, it's just fun.
Oh, yes, I've got it now.
Go on then, tell us the joke. I haven't got it.
Well, then we'll tell you the joke, and if you guess the answer... David's joke is... What's the difference between a snowman, well, it is a bit rude, isn't it? A snowman and a snow lady.
I don't know. What's the difference between a snowman and a snow lady?
This can finish it off.
Snowballs.
Oh, right, okay. Well, let's put it this way. The standard can't get lower.
Yeah.
Right.
Moving on.
Okay, so yes, moving on. To lead us in our conversation, our myth-busting conversation about Christmas and all those kind of things, we're going to watch a little cartoon presentation, or listen to a cartoon presentation if you're not watching, if you're out on the podcast, all about when Santa learned the gospel. Are we ready for when Santa learned the gospel?
I love this.
No.
We are.
When Santa learned the gospel, he first heard it from an elf. This tiny Santa's helper had just learned of it herself. A child had asked for Christmas to receive a Bible book. This elf had made one in the shop, then paused to have a look. She read all about Jesus and the call to follow him. She learned how Jesus lived and taught and died to pay for sin. She learned how Jesus rose again and how he will return. And then this elf read how she should respond to all she'd learned. She shut the book, put down her tools, then closed her eyes and prayed. Right then and there, this little elf trusted in Christ that day. The next day, she told Santa. It was awkward, unprepared. She knew she didn't know that much, but what she knew, she shared. She told Santa the gospel. It was simple. It was short. But a seed was sown in Santa's heart, which grew into a thought. Santa reflected on his life and the message he supported, then compared it to the gospel that the elf had just reported. He'd always thought that everyone was naughty or was nice. He had them all on two big lists. He even checked it twice. He'd always thought you only got a gift if you'd been good. The naughty kids got lumps of coal. That's what he understood. They'd all line up in shopping malls and sit upon his knee and claim that they were always nice as nice can be. Of course, he saw them when they slept and knew when they awoke. He also knew their nice attempts were pretty much a joke. Their heads weren't filled with thoughts as nice as kindness, peace, and joy, but with the never-ending list of their desired toys. He knew their hearts, but he had thought, they're trying to be good. That's good enough to make the list, otherwise no one would. So every year, they're good enough, with toys would be rewarded. And every year he realised, this message he supported. The good will get the presents, the bad will get the coal. And trying to be good enough is good enough for God. That was the message that he knew. But now he knew another. He had just learned the gospel. So he compared them to each other. The message of the gospel turned his message upside down. The good, the bad, naughty and nice, it switched it all around. There's no one good but God alone, he'd heard Jesus concluded, and those who claim they're good enough are simply just deluded. If there's a list of who is good, that standard we've all missed. And Santa saw that even he was on the naughty list. That shook his world, that rocked his boat, that gripped him in his soul. To think that even Santa Claus deserved a lump of coal. But that was only half of what the gospel message said. It also flipped what happened to the naughty on its head. Instead of being written off as just not good enough, the message to the naughty list was one of grace and love. The gospel offered mercy to all those deserving coal. The gospel offered forgiveness and cleansing of the soul. The gospel told how Jesus died our death to pay the price, to reconcile us all to God, both naughty and the nice. This offer was a real gift. Unlike presents neath the tree, it was not earned by being good. God offered it for free. Santa compared his message with this new one he had learned. His message said you get the presents your good deeds had earned. The message of the gospel offered something so much greater. Jesus had come to reconcile the world to their Creator. When Santa grasped the gospel, he did not know what to do. And so the elf said nervously, how about I pray with you? So that night at the North Pole, by the fire in his den, with a simple prayer led by an elf, Santa was born again. And now in Christ, forgiven, free, his new life had begun. And Santa had a new message to share with everyone.
Brilliant is that?
I know.
Absolutely adore it. Adore it. Yeah. Well, I don't know how my interweb's working here, to be honest, but I'm getting lots of answers and not the first part of the jokes.
Oh, yes, I'm getting plenty of jokes here. Some very, very bad jokes indeed.
Well, that's what we want.
We're getting how do angels greet each other?
I don't know. How do angels greet each other?
Ooh, halo.
Oh, there's one from Laura, not Christmassy, but have you heard that pirates now need to isolate? Apparently the R rate has increased. The R rate. Oh, Tim.
Oh, I mean, I've got to put one Christmas Day when we have all our eco-friendly crackers with no plastic in them. I shall have to put up with even more of these.
Yeah.
I've got no crackers this year. I'll just have to read these out.
Okay. Well, maybe. We did ought to have a little bit of a think. So, a little bit interesting. I have to say that when I first saw that, I was a bit unsure about it because I've never been a great fan of the Father Christmas whole Santa thing. But it was so well done, this kind of imaginary encounter between Santa and Jesus, and a bit between contrast of the kind of Father Christmas song, Naughty and Nice and Lumps of Cards, with God's Grace, that I was kind of won over by it. But I wonder how you feel about that.
Yeah.
I agree because it is very much that whole, oh, you've got to be good or else you're not going to get what you want, is the opposite as Christians of what we believe, you know, the Jesus's messages, isn't it? It's not about a list. It's bigger than that. And you don't necessarily do half a dozen good things and then all of a sudden, you know, that's it, you're in the good books. But I think that was done really well. But I think it's a very important message to get across to children. It's a long time since my boys were little. They're 29 and 31 now. So I don't know, is it still a big thing, the whole keep, you know, how long do kids believe in Father Christmas for, or are people having the conversation? I don't know.
Yeah, it is. It's as big as ever, really. But yeah, like you, I feel like the message that it's given out, and I thought this when my kids were little, was that it's not representing a kind of unconditional love, because it's saying something is conditional on your behavior. And to me, that is not obviously what the Christian gospel is about. And it reminds me of the story of the prodigal son, where obviously the son comes home and the father just goes out and gives him the best robe and the best presents and just loves him, not because of what he's done, but there's just that forgiveness and there's that grace. And I think that is the heart of God.
Yeah.
I think that's what that video probably brought out, really.
Mm.
Yeah. I think what's interesting for me as well is that we always used to look at the story of St. Nicholas when the kids were little, because I really like that story because it's the original Santa Claus, St. Nicholas.
Mm.
And I really liked it because he was a person who had a real heart for God and a heart for justice and a heart for giving people what they needed. So he gave gifts to the poor. That's how the kind of tale came about of him stuffed down chimneys. He put coins in people's socks and things like that. And I always loved that story because I thought, you know, he did it anonymously and it was kind of that unconditional love, grace. It wasn't about what they'd done. It was just because you were doing it out of love for God. And
I suppose one part of the whole Father Christmas, sorry, no kids around, story. I suppose it does encourage kindness. If you think about what we used to do, and because it's the done thing, or used to be, putting out the mince pie, the carrot, the glass of sherry, and having to eat and drink it when they've gone to bed, that was terrible. But it's got that caring aspect, hasn't it? It's, oh, well, they're doing this, they're coming all the way and doing that for you. So you need to feed them and make sure they're okay to carry on. So I suppose there's that element to it. But I suppose it's about just wanting to create that feeling of wonder about Christmas. Fair enough, but I'm with you. It's so much, obviously that's not what Christmas is about. We have lost the true meaning of Christmas.
I don't know, that I think that's maybe a bit
from a commercial point of view, that seems to,
I think it's easy for it to get obscured. I know that some people are concerned that, particularly in families where money's tight at this time of year, and particularly this year, that if youngsters are very much the kind of narrative is around is that Santa brings you really nice presents if you're good, and if mom and dad can't afford really nice presents and Santa doesn't bring them, does that mean they haven't been good or they don't deserve it?
The
parents end up just racking up horrible credit card bills so that they can make sure that Santa does bring something good so their kids have something nice.
And then they're grumpy the rest of the year because they've got to pay the bills off and they're horrible to the kids. Potentially.
I always remember when Nathaniel was little and he was really into Santa. you remember, Tim, he wouldn't have it. He wouldn't listen to us, even if we sort of said, no, it's a story. No, no, he had to believe it. So it's responding to different children as well. So he was really into it. But I remember making these shoe boxes for, was it Operation Christmas Child?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember him saying, well, why doesn't Santa bring the presents to those children? Why are we giving them? I remember him saying that. He must have been about 7 or something like that. And
the brain, that is.
That's what he's, you know, that's what he's seeing, that it's this whole story, this whole narrative is not fair. Mm. And of those children not being good, those children who are in poor countries. And
I feel awful now. You were doing good things making those boxes. I was making footprints in flour on the carpet to make it look like Father Christmas. Well, the thing is, the boys got up and there's those footprints and the sun's shining outside, but, you know, thankfully. Just to say, apparently, Kimberly says that they've got a great book about St. Nick, that they love reading it and teaching A about him. It seems, though, that David hasn't got a clue about this book because he says, have we? So, guess who's done all the reading?
Yeah, and none of this is about guilt tripping. And we've all got to make decisions for our own families and our own children. It's just wanting to tease some of these things out and explore them a little bit and just have this opportunity to think about them. The other thing that really struck me about that video was actually the elf at the beginning and the end, having come across this faith thing themselves. And that little bit about she told Santa and it was awkward and it was unprepared, but she just shared what she knew.
Mm.
And then right at the end, she was ready to say, well, would you like me to pray with you? And
yeah,
that was actually a real challenge to me in terms of me. I mean, okay, I'm a professional vicar. I stand at the front and talk about the good news all the time. But on a one-to-one basis and to friends and people like that, just that willingness to say, this is good in my life. Can I tell you about it? And it might be a bit awkward and a bit kind of uncomfortable and unprepared, but actually just wanting to share that story and then being willing to say, if somebody's kind of taken it on board, would you like me to pray with you?
Yeah. Let's say David's made a really good point after he said that he does the reading about the diggers. So he obviously, you know, making sure that he does, but he makes the point that he's saying he's not a big fan of Father Christmas and lots of reasons, but, you know, to be telling or speaking with kids and to have that children, and there's that sort of concept of a strange man coming into the house at night and things like this can be a bit unsettling for, you know, somebody's coming in the house at night and perhaps feeling insecure. So I think that's a point I've not thought about.
See, that actually takes me back, because it's you respond to the child as well, because Tabs was like that. She would not have it. She would not have Santa because she was fearful. And he's not coming in, is he? He's not going to come into my bedroom. And we sort of sat and read the story with us. We're just reading a story for fun. Mm-hmm. We're just putting out the mince pie and the sherry for fun.
Yeah, which
was part of the fun of Christmas and all of that. And
yeah,
she was quite. She got herself in. I remember she got herself quite in tizz about it one year.
Yeah,
she didn't want the big man to come into her room. And
there you go. Different. I thought of that.
Okay, so leaving Father Christmas behind, apart from my hat, just a little bit, looping back to our Bible reading, what was missing?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Have you got anybody on the stream having a guess at what might be?
Not that I've seen.
Yeah.
No?
Yes. Well, I'll go first, if you like. So what stood out as missing is the stable.
Yeah.
Ah, of course. Do you know what? Sometimes you just miss the obvious, don't you?
Exactly. And where was this apparent stable meant to be?
What, according to the biblical
account? No, according to the tradition and your Christmas cards and all that.
Oh, out on the hills, or out in the village, out of the village slightly. It's always like a little barn.
Whose stable was it?
It belonged to the innkeeper.
What innkeeper?
The one that hasn't got Zoom.
And coming back to the scripture, what innkeeper?
The one that's not mentioned at all.
Yeah.
The one that's not mentioned at all.
It talks about a guest room.
It talks so about a guest room.
It could be some kind of, that's probably more likely to be either a family member or somebody they know through family having a guest room, I think, possibly.
Yeah. So basically, where do we get this idea of stable and innkeepers and inns, the staple of nativity plays everywhere and a nice stable on Sarah's Christmas jumper?
I'm topical then.
On every other Christmas card. It's part of the nativity scenes. Where do we get it from? Why is it so kind of deeply ingrained?
Well, to be fair, we get some of the stable stuff from the fact that there was an ox on a donkey.
Yes.
That's mentioned.
Where does it say that?
The ox in the ass. Doesn't it mention the ox? Don't tell me it doesn't mention that.
What ox? What ass?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm sure it does.
Well, there's sheep.
Well, do you want to know where we got, how we got there?
The cattle were lowing.
Yes. No, that's the carol.
That's a carol.
Yeah. So this is just a really good example of actually just stripping back some of our own kind of ideas and things we've been told and things I've got, and actually going back to what the Bible actually says. So basically what happened is when the Bible was translated into English, they read the original word in the original language. There was no guest room. Mm-hmm. And because in the English culture at that time, the only places you had guest rooms was in an inn, what they wrote was there was no room at the inn. And then because it says, well, they placed him in a manger. Well, a manger is a thing you feed animals in. And in that culture in England at the time, where are animals kept?
Yeah.
In a stable.
Yeah.
What else is in stables? Well, usually horses and
hay,
other animals. So obviously what happened was there was no room in the inn. So the innkeeper allowed them to stay in the stable where there would have been other animals. This whole kind of image and a thing based on the culture that it was being translated into and this actual mistranslation of guest room into room at the inn.
Well, Cataluma, David tells us.
Yeah, well, David's showing off.
He is, isn't he? I'm very impressed. I'm learning here. Yeah. Whereas so it's basically, we're talking assumptions, aren't we?
So if we actually go back and look at what it really would have meant, in that time, in a small village like Bethlehem, as in quite a lot of subsistence farming places around the world still today, if you've got animals, very often they will sleep in the same building as the family. Family will perhaps sleep upstairs and the animals have the downstairs, or there'll be one half of the downstairs which will have the animals in, and then the other half of the downstairs will be the living space, and then the sleeping space is upstairs. So what's most likely to have happened is that Mary and Joseph will have arrived in Bethlehem. They will have arrived to extended family's house, because Joseph's extended family lives there. That's why he's come to Bethlehem to register. But then so will quite a lot of the other extended family have arrived, because they've all been told to come for this census. So there isn't room in a guest room for them in their family's house.
Okay.
But there is room downstairs in the nice warm end of the house where the animals are and where there happens to be a manger. So rather than them being out the back in a stable on their own, it's very likely that they were in the only bit of private space in a family home surrounded by family, but that was the only bit of space available.
It was available. Oh, wow.
Well,
I feel better that they weren't out in a windy barn for a start.
I know, but it kind of spoils all those carols, all those nativity scenes that you have with the children.
That's then the other question is how much does it matter?
Yeah. It's the same about the date, isn't it? December the 25th, really. Does it matter?
Yeah.
A Roman thing kind of imposed on
us.
I mean, some people would argue that it doesn't matter very much, that it's a lovely story, that it does, that it points out and highlights Jesus' humility, which is important. Jesus did come in humility. And I'm not going to go around falling out with people who have stables on their jumpers or send Christmas cards with stables on.
Well, I'm very pleased to hear that, Tim.
Maybe it's a useful exercise whenever we approach the Bible to actually read it carefully and say, what does it actually say? And what do I think ought to be there that isn't actually there? Because there are other areas of life where it probably is more important, is more critical to the way we live.
Yeah.
As to what either we skip over because we don't like it, or which we think is there, but isn't actually.
Yeah.
Now I'm looking upside down because I don't know whether the three wise men, the three kings, are on there, but they took about 2 years, didn't they?
Yeah, and they weren't kings and they weren't three.
But they were wise.
They were wise, but we don't have any gender, and we assume there are three because they bought three with three of their presents are named.
Yeah, but what, somebody might have been on furlough and couldn't afford one.
Yeah, quite possibly. So we're not saying that they aren't three. We're saying that, and that's in Matthew's gospel, and yes, it is probably two years later.
Yeah.
And we don't know how many there were.
Yeah. Wow.
And with this kind of stuff, it's, as I say, it may not be super critical, but it's important when we come to the Bible for us to just sometimes stop and say, what isn't there that I think thought was there?
Mm.
What's there that I'm not seeing?
I suppose it's almost like, rather than, there used to be a programme, I never watched it, called 24.
Oh, yeah.
And Tim watched it. Look at that for a reaction.
Oh, well, I gave up after two series. Liz kept going, but I was just bored.
Oh, right. And it was a minute-by-minute thing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I think it's the difference between a 24 version of the nativity, you know, the story, and that sort of, this is who came and what have you overall. So we know that wise people, when it came, all right, it was 2 years, but they still came to worship. I suppose it's that, isn't it? It's the 24 version versus the summary.
Yes.
What's it called? For a book, what's it called, Author Liz? That's the one. Yeah. Correct.
We compress the story, and we'll have a crib service tomorrow at All Saints, and there'll be wise people in it, and that's fine because you want to tell the whole story, and if there's some overlap and a little bit confusion about when things were there, that's fine.
Yeah.
Okay, so we are going to, in a minute, have a bit of a pray for Christmas, but to lead us into that, we're going to have another carol. So there you go. And this one was especially requested. We did actually have a request come in. Somebody asked for In the Bleak Midwinter. So we're going to have that. Here we go.
Nice.
Over to you, Sarah.
Thanks, Tim. Our prayers this evening will be broken into four sections using the acronym STAR, symbolising the Christmas star that may or may not have led the Magi or the however many number of people to Christ. We pray that we too may be led to follow Christ in turn ourselves, becoming like shining stars so that we may lead others to love God and to live as Jesus asks us. In the acronym STAR, S is for still, T is for thanks, A is for ask, and R is for renew. If there's anything that you'd like us to pray for, just pop it in the comments and hopefully we'll be able to come to that. So firstly, Lord, as we come together on this Christmas Eve, we take a moment to be still and silent, like the night in the Christmas carol. We take a few still and silent moments together to gather our thoughts as we prepare to speak with God and to be calm so that we may hear his voice. Now we come to the next point of our star, which is thanks. We offer up our thanks and praise to God for the week so far and the days ahead as we prepare to celebrate the end of our period of waiting and the arrival of God made man coming to live among us. Lord, we thank you for coming to earth so that you could redeem us. When we think of the extent to which we're willing to go in order to save us, it makes us want to shout, to celebrate, and to cry with thankfulness. You love us so much, Lord, and we're so grateful for that love. Without you, we'd still be lost and in sin. But because of everything you've done for us today, we're free. Our lives are blessed, and Jesus is our Lord. And just as we give thanks for the birth of Jesus Christ to Mary and Joseph and to the world, so too we give thanks for the promise of Christ's second coming. We pray that you remember us, Lord, during your second coming to judge the living and the dead, and that you accept us in your kingdom when you come for us on the last day. Amen.
Thank you, Father, for those who first shared your good news with me, who introduced me to you to me, and helped me as I took my first steps of faith. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Father, I thank you for your unconditional love, your overflowing grace that doesn't consider whether we're naughty or nice, doesn't consider what we deserve, but just gives freely of yourself, of your love. We're just bowled over it by it, Lord. We thank you. We praise you.
Father God, in following our star tonight, it's now time to ask. We pray for each other, Lord, at this most holy of times, and ask for your grace upon each other, our family, friends, our church family and local community, and the world as a whole, as we face such troubling times. Lord, we so often get far too caught up in the Christmas commercialism, in the temporal things and stuff, things that really don't matter. Lord, help us to refocus our hearts and remember the real reason why we celebrate this time, the true meaning of Christmas. It may be a little cliche, but it's true. Jesus is the reason for the season. Lord, we've been asked to pray for Emmy this evening as she's feeling a little bit under the weather and pressured by everything that she's going through with work and everything at the moment and her physical health. So we hold her before you, Lord, that you will strengthen her and she will know that you are with her. Mm-hmm. We pray for Ashley, looking for things for their son, just to make everyday life possible. We pray that somebody within our family, Lord, can can help the time when everybody needs to pull together, for those that have, to help those that don't quite have. We pray for joy in our hearts, hope in our God, love to forgive, and peace upon the earth. And we ask the salvation of all our family members and friends, and pray for your blessings on all people, that there'll be bread for the hungry, love for the unlovable, healing for the sick, protection for our children, and wisdom for our youth. We pray for the forgiveness of sinners and abundant life in Christ. Holy Spirit, we ask you to fill our hearts with your love and power. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
We pray for all those who are mourning and grieving, for broken plans and not being able to see the loved ones that they were hoping to over the next few days. We pray particularly for little ones who may not really understand why they can't see grandma and granddad or their cousins or family friends. We lament this before you, Lord. It's painful. So would you meet us in our pain, Lord? Amen.
Amen.
And Father, we pray for those who are feeling fearful with everything that's going on and feeling like this is all a burden. And also for those, Lord, who are feeling like they can't really see hope in sight. And I really pray that you will meet them in their fear, meet them in their hopelessness, and Lord, and lead them into the hope that you bring, lead them into the light of your love and your hope. I pray for everybody here tonight who's feeling like that, Lord, that they will meet with you, encounter you in your love, just get a real glimpse of your joy even in the midst of all of this, Jesus.
Amen.
And we pray for all those lorry drivers stuck on an airfield on the motorway. Pray for all the families. It's just a horrible situation, Lord. And we pray that the tests will be deployed quickly, they'll be able to move quickly, that there won't be further traffic snarl-ups as they all pile through ports on the continent. Pray for safety for them in their onward journeys. I pray that you would surprise them being able to get home before they expected to be able to.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, in all this, would you break through and bring your love and your compassion to all those who are stuck. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And Lord, for all those hospital staff, frontline workers, after such a long, difficult year, know that they're facing things getting potentially even worse now as we have this new strain of the virus. Be with them, Lord. Strengthen them, Lord. Let them know that you're with them.
Lord, I pray for my friend Kath, who is clinically vulnerable and has COVID and is quite ill. I pray for your healing, Lord, for her. Yeah. And I pray that you just meet her in that, in her fear, and worry about the next few days and weeks. And I pray for everybody in the same position, Lord, who's struggling with that or with any kind of sickness.
Mm-hmm.
That you just meet them there, Lord.
Amen. So the final stage of our journey this evening, Lord, following our star of prayer, it's time for us to renew our promise to love God and to live like Jesus asks of us. Lord Jesus, we pray that you will come into and remain in our hearts and be our Lord and Saviour.
We willingly give you our lives and pray that you will help us to do your will. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with the flocks, then the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal those broken in spirit, to feed the hungry, to release the oppressed, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among all peoples, to make a little music with the heart, and to radiate the light of Christ every day, in every way, in all that we do and in all that we say. Then the work of Christmas begins. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sarah. I like that last little bit, the work of Christmas begins. Really good. So it's been really good to have you two with us on screen. Those of you out on the stream watching live on Facebook, been lovely to have you with us. And those catching up on the podcast or on YouTube or Facebook later, really good to be able to share with you. If you've got comments, questions, things you want to look at us to look at in the new year, do email me, tim@allsaints-wellington.org. We are going to be having a break next week. No shift church next Wednesday.
You are breaking up.
Not surprised to hear, but we will be back first week of January. I think it's the 6th or 7th of January, something like that.
Yeah, 4th Monday, so it'll be the 6th.
It'll be the 6th of January. And we're going to be across the life of All Saints and St. Catherine's. A couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at vision for 2021, what we think God might be calling us to new in 2021. So that'd be really exciting to be able to share that with you, and would welcome your thoughts and your input on it, really. So
great.
Email me, message us, and all together have a really Merry Christmas and a good new year. And here's hoping 2021 is a little bit better. So anyway, so say goodbye, Sarah.
Goodbye, Sarah, and Merry Christmas, everybody. Stay safe.
Yeah, say goodbye, Liz.
Goodbye, Liz. And I'm just say I am reading the stuff on the thread, and I know that somebody's been bombing it with a bot thing, so just ignore that.
Oh, that's unpleasant. Yeah. I'm sorry about that.
Oh dear.
Yeah, but just ignore that and know that
there we go.
We love you and that we're praying for you. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a new one on us. We might have to look see what we have to do about that next year.
But
anyway, we're off for a fortnight. Have a lovely Christmas. And see you all on the other side. Good night.
Bye all.
Yes. Bye.